Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Sometimes we just got to put a praise on it. Whatever we're going through, we begin to praise the Lord and just give him the glory, trust him as never before. And I mean, you got a blessing coming with your name on it. It's got your name on it. If you put a praise on it, the Lord is going to do great things. And we thank God today. This is the Prospering Souls broadcast, and we are so thankful to be on the air today, ready to deliver the word of God. Hallelujah. And so we're just so thankful for each and every one of you that will be logging in, those that call in, and those that will even listen to the archives later. We thank God for each and every one of you, and we hope that the word blesses you, because our prayer is that the word would fall on good ground, and so that it will rise up in you at its appointed time, and it will do what God has set it out to do. We're just going to open up the service today with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for your mercy and for your grace. I thank you for your long-suffering. I thank you for your tender mercy, God. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to bless us today on this broadcast, Lord Jesus. Lord, let your word go forth as never before, Lord. Anoint the speaker, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for her today, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for all that she does, God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for this today. We ask you, Lord, to bless each and every one, Lord, that will be listening, Lord Jesus, and bless those that will give their life to the Lord today. We thank you for them as well, God. And, Lord, we ask you just to do great things on this broadcast today. We thank you for the anointed word of God that will come forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We have been talking about spiritual gifts, and we're winding them up. I think we have this week, and maybe next week we'll be talking about them, and then we'll begin to do some other foundational teaching on some other topics. But we thank God for Elder Shirley Russell, who is going to be ministering today. I believe her and then Elder Timberlake possibly will be on the line ministering today. And we're so thankful for each of them. And we thank God for these spiritual gifts. We talked about last week divers tongues, and we talked about the interpretation of tongues, and we started talking about prophecy. And so I know that she has some other good things to say about that and even about the discerning of the spirits. And so we are just happy for these last couple of topics on spiritual gifts. If you've missed any of the broadcast prior to this, you might want to listen and catch up. And so, because it's some good teaching, and we thank God for it. Elder Russell, I'm giving it over to you.
Praise the Lord. I thank God for the opportunity to be able to share his word today. I'm going to continue on prophecy, and there was some concern about the difference between the office of prophecy and the gift of prophecy. Well, I was reading First Corinthians 12:19, Apostle Paul taught that not every believer is a prophet, but all believers are able to prophesy, and it's in 1 Corinthians 14:13. So that means that the person that walks in the office of prophecy will be the dominant feature of a prophetic ministry. And the prophecy, it simply means to speak forth the revelation. I think I've said this, speak forth the revelation we have personally received from God. Personally received from God. Again, all believers can prophesy. Prophecy will not be necessary, be the dominant feature of that believer's ministry. And just for an example, a teacher may prophesy from time to time, but his or her ministry will be dominated by teaching. And for example, a person that cooks, I mean, primarily all cook, but that's a gift of cooking, or we can just cook. But a chef would be in the office of a chef because he knows all of it, you know, the ramification of cooking, the ingredients, and what to put together and what not to put together. So, again, the office of prophecy is a dominant, the dominant one. The office of prophet, of the office of a prophet is one of the leadership offices in the body of Christ that exists to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's in Ephesians 4:11-12. And not all believers are called to such a leadership office, but the prophet is. And of course, the prophecy, the prophet is considered part of the fivefold ministry. So it is a very, it should be a very honored and high position in a church. Amen. And usually in some churches, some of the preachers have the office of a prophet. They have the office of a prophet. We just have to be careful that understand the importance of a true prophet, because anyone can come in false clothing, you know, sheep will come in sheep clothing. So we have to be the leader of the church has to have the discernment, discerning to know that the person speaking that he allowed to speak, it is it's from God. And also, in speaking of the gift of prophecy, the gift of prophecy is not a word of knowledge. Knowing something by the Spirit, it is not a word of wisdom, knowing what to do by the Spirit, but it is a gift of edification for the church. Just like tongues is a gift for edification for the individual. Okay, and that's that gift of that tongues is primarily for you. And I know sometimes in church where they speak out in tongues and someone interprets it, and sometimes they just speak out, you know, and that's also, you need to distinguish the difference, but it's still a gift from God. It's still a word from God. again, the office of a prophet is in the New Testament is one of the fivefold ministries, so we can see that it is in the title leadership role. It must be handled as seriously as one would approach being a pastor. So we can see that it is a very important role. And it is a calling of God. It's a calling of God. It requires a time of divine preparation. If you know that is your calling, it would behoove you to pray and seek God, you know, that when he gives you this, that you will know without a shadow of a doubt, this is a word coming from God. It needs to be recognized by and in mutual submission to other fivefold ministries. And but there are a lot of long-range prophets that are false prophets. So we know, you know, the difference, because many people, you know, they speak out of their own heart, not out of the heart of God. Okay, let me give you this, the definition of a prophet's words. A discourse showing from a divine inspiration and declaring the purpose of God, whether by reproving and admonishing the wicked or confronting the afflicted or revealing hidden things by foretelling events. And, you know, we're living in a time now that we need this type of edification. We need the revelation of things hidden because so much is going on now with changes and with a new president with uncertainty, not sure and not knowing what is going on. But of course, we know that we as believers are going to look to Christ, look to the hills of which cometh our help, you know, and knowing it comes from God. Of the predictions of events relating to Christ's kingdom and his speedy triumph, together with the consolation and admonitions pertaining to it, the spirit of prophecy, the divine mind to which the prophet's faculty is due, of the endowment and speech of the Christian teachers called prophets, the gifts and utterances of these prophets, of the prediction of the works of which set forth apart teach the gospel, will accomplish for the kingdom of Christ. And I was speaking about the fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4:11, it says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, you see that's along with that, and evangelists, and pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So all of it, the fivefold ministry, of course, is to edify the body of Christ. And in First Corinthians 12:28, and God has set forth in the church, again, the first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. And again, prophets are called by God. Everyone can prophesy, but only God calls prophets into ministry. And that's why we have to be aware of those that's coming not in the name of God and speaking from their own human heart and not from the heart of God. And in Ephesians 2:20, it says, and are built upon the foundation of apostles. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So prophets and apostles established the church. And this was the ministry of prophets established the church as they declare God's plans and purposes. So the prophets, even the gift of the prophets, the office of prophets, and even those that have gifts, played a very important role in the work of the church and bringing God in the midst of the church and hearing what he has to say. And, of course, prophets reveal the hidden plans of God. In Amos 3:7, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth the secret unto his servants, the prophets. So God works through his prophets, as we have seen through Jonah, when God was telling Jonah to go to Nineveh to tell the people if they didn't stop what they were doing, that he was going to destroy them. But Jonah heard the word of God, but he decided he was going to run away, you know. So, of course, we see that if you are in that office, that it affects a lot of people. That gift is not just for you to make the decision that you're going to run and hide with it, but a lot of lives are affected in that gift. But, you know, by Jonah going through what he went through when he got into the belly of the fish and all the torment and suffering he went through, that, you know, he realized that he was wrong, you know. He got his mind together, and God just spit him out, and then he was able to give what God thus said the Lord. And many, many people, the whole Nineveh was saved. So it is a very important gift that not just involves you, but it involves the entire community or state or whatever. In Acts 21:10, and as we tarried there for many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his hands and feet and said, "Thus says the Lord God, thus says the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." So the work of the prophet was very, very important. Even in the, of course, in the New Testament, you know, Paul was a great example of one that God led to deliver the Gentiles. In many ways, the gift can come through visions, dreams, or whatever. But when Paul was going to Damascus is when, you know, when God spoke to him, he said, "Why does thou persecute me?" And, you know, immediately he knew that was the word, that was Jesus speaking, you know. He knew that, and that's the way that God wants us to know what he's speaking and what he wants us to do, because he has a long range of things that he wants us to do. So so we need to really be in tune with God's word and in relationship with him, that when he speaks to us, we have no doubt that that is God that is speaking to us, as Paul did. And from that day forth, he served him all the days of his life. And, of course, we know he wrote most of the New Testament. And there's some difference between the New and the Old Testament. I just thought that might be interesting. In the Old Testament, prophets were ministers of the law. In the New Testament, prophets are ministers of grace. The Old Testament leaders are prophets, priests, and kings. The New Testament leaders are the fivefold ministry. These are some good scriptures. I'm just going to give these to you. The spirit of the Lord, the spirit of the prophet must be of God, and that is no doubt, because we're not able to do anything. We can't pull down any strongholds. We can't possibly rebuke the demons unless the Holy Spirit is there to do that for us. 1 Joel 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of good of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world." So we just don't take anybody's word that they're saying this is from God. We have to know, we have to feel that within our hearts, that we know that word is spoken from God. And Jeremiah 2:8, the priest said, "Where is the Lord? And they that handle the law know me not. The pastors also transgress against me, and the prophets prophesy by Baal, and walk after things that do not profit." So it was a lot of profit and gain back there working as a false prophet. So we just have to know that that person is speaking the words of God. And, of course, how do we know that? Is that we have to be in tune with God. We have to be in tune with his word and prayer, and just seeking his face, waiting on him to speak to us. In Jeremiah 14:14, "Then the Lord said unto me, the prophet's prophecy lies in my name. I sent them not, he says. Neither have I commanded them, neither spoke unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision of divination and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart." So we see it's a deceivement, deception. So we have to really be careful. in the time that we're living in now, we just don't take it for granted. We have to know that there are prophets, gifts of prophets, and then there are those that have gifts. And like, of course, we all have gifts. It's like I was speaking about the chef and the cooks. We all can cook, but we're not all chefs. And praise the Lord. Prophets, of course, again, are equipped to the church, importing gifts and importing gifts. And prophets reveal the hidden plans of God and warns of danger. And Amos 3:7, sure, the Lord God will do nothing, but he will reveal his secret unto his servants, the prophets, Acts 21:10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judah a certain prophet named Agabus, and he was come unto us. He took Paul's, well, I think I did that one before. But anyway, we read that one. But just understanding that is that there are people that have the gift of prophecy. And like I said before, any of us can have the gift of prophecy and not have the office of prophecy. And the office of prophecy is part of the fivefold ministry. And Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others discern what he is saying. If a revelation is made to another sitting by, let the first be silent. If you can all prophesize one by one so that all may learn, all will be encouraged. And the spirits of prophecy are subject to prophets. I don't know if there were times in your life that you felt like may have had maybe a gift of prophecy, or maybe you may have considered yourself having the gift of prophecy. Has anyone ever thought about that? Whether you walked in that role?
Well, I don't, like I told, I think I was saying last week, I don't really feel like I have the gift of prophecy. I do I do know that my gifting lies within a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and the discernment of, and the spirit of discernment. But I've never really felt like I've had the gift of prophecy. I think, like you said earlier when you started, people, we can prophesy.
Right.
And I think sometimes when you say certain things, and sometimes they can be taken as prophecy, and it might just be a word of knowledge. And so
Go ahead.
And so I think that those are my giftings, and so I've never really considered myself to have, I've never thought that I had the gift of prophecy. But I do think, like Paul said, I think it was when he said, covet the best gift and pray that you may prophesy to the edifying of the body of Christ. And so I think if people, you know, want to have that gift, then they need to do it, but they have to understand that it's to be in the content of, to edify the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then we want to, the gift is two types. It is the gift, and the gift is just anyone can have a gift, have the gift of prophecy. And then that means you're a prophet. That means that you may have the gift to speak at a certain time. You know, a teacher can have a gift. It just you may speak it at a certain time, but if you're in the office, then you carry that with you all the time. It's a part of you.
If we think about Saul, and when when the people were crying that they wanted a king, and when Samuel first anointed Saul, he told Saul, Saul was found amongst the prophets prophesying, but Saul was not a prophet.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he had the gift. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that, as I spoke earlier, the time that we live in now, we really do need a word from God.
Yes.
We need prophecy to go forth. We need that office to be established, you know, in our churches.
Yes.
And it needs to be brought forth, you know,
mm-hmm.
So that we can actually know the heart of God, because this is actually the heart of God. This is actually Him sending a word of comfort, sending a word of direction for us.
Yeah.
And if there was a way that we could do that, it would be wonderful.
Yes. Really, if we could really begin to see all the gifts of operation, the gifts of the Spirit in operation in our churches, like we used to see, and when we were coming up, we saw more of the gifts in operation than what we do now. But I'm not saying they're not operating, but I'm saying that sometimes they're not allowed to be in operation as they were back in this time period. You know, when we talk about it, in the Bible, we saw more active, and so it would be wonderful if we just pray that the Lord will begin to exercise those gifts in people, let the Holy Spirit exercise those gifts in people, that they can be a blessing to the body of Christ. But I think sometimes when we think about it, sometimes people are so quick to say, oh, I'm doing this and I'm doing this, when none of us doing. All of these gifts are administered by the Holy Spirit. And we keep that in our forefront of our mind to understand it's not us doing it, but it's the Holy Spirit that's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is using us through these gifts. I think that the Lord, we would see more manifestation of them in the church today.
Right. You know, I think about, you know, when Paul said that I may decrease, that he may increase, of course, he's mean, of course, that our human nature would decrease, that he could increase, and that we all begin to work on decreasing the outer man, increasing the inner man, that when God finds someone that he can give that revelation to, you know, that he can trust with that revelation, you know, it would be great, but we have to be in the position to receive it.
Yes. I have two questions.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it would help our listeners. The first question is, should a saint or the body of Christ seek out a prophet to hear a word because they feel that he is the only one that has a word from God? The second question is, let's just deal with the first one.
Okay, would you repeat that one again, please? I'm sorry.
The first question would be to help the listeners.
Yeah.
Should a saint
mm-hmm.
or a body seek out a prophet to receive a word from God? And I was going to wait on the second question, but I can give it now because I thought of it. And the second question would be, does a prophet of God hold a word from God for a Christian or a saint, and he has the only word from God?
Well, in my understanding, I don't believe that he has the only word from God. I believe that that God has many ways for us to receive His word, and that is through His word. And I believe that God can give us revelation knowledge through His word, and even through the mouth of our pastors. We don't have to go running to and fro looking for someone to prophesy to us. If it comes forth, I believe that would be a great benefit. But, you know, some people, they run here and there trying to get a word. But God has given you the word already, and He's given you the roadmap to Him. He says, seeking you shall find, knock on the door shall open. These other gifts are added gifts to, I believe, to help us walk to encourage us, to comfort us. And that's my take on that.
Elder Russell, and I believe that when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was rent.
Yes.
So that we could have access to God ourselves. Now,
right.
We certainly, most certainly, need the prophet.
Right.
Definitely need the prophet because it's in the fivefold
ministry. Yeah.
But I think because of what Jesus Christ has done, it's good for us to be able to go to God boldly and with confidence, knowing that he will hear us, and then the prophet will even come by and even give us an even greater word from God. But I agree with you. There are some saints that just run here, there, everywhere, and they won't take time to have that intimate relationship with God so
right,
God can
right.
for them. And they're running
yeah.
to a prophet. And the prophet, and I think that they're putting a prophet up on a pedestal.
Right.
And we need to uplift God and know that that prophet is serving the same God that we are, but he does get a direct word from God. And
right.
we should respect them and
right.
hear thus saith the Lord, but don't just rely totally on that, because you may not be able to, you know, you may try to call that prophet, and they may
they
be
may
in
be
a service or they may be at work or something.
Yeah.
So we have to be able to get to God ourselves.
Right, right. That is the number one thing. We have to be able to get to God ourselves, right?
Exactly.
And the fivefold ministry is wonderful. God established that. But we as individuals must make the choice to learn his way, to learn his word, to learn his voice. That is something we need to do. And then when all this comes, it just reinforces what we already have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I believe that our spirit would identify with what the prophet is saying.
Yeah.
Because, like they say, many false prophets come in his name. And many like the name of being a prophet. You know, they look that up as a humanly thing. You know, look what I am, you know. So we don't want to get into that. We don't want to get in running to it for looking for a word. If the word comes, praise God for the word. But
Amen.
You've got the word anyway.
And it will be a strong word. You know, just think, wow, if all of us were together, and we are all, you know, we all have communication with the Lord, and we're hearing the Lord, and then when we're all together or assembled together, and then the prophet walks in the room, and then, you know, it seems when the prophet comes, the word that they speak are just even greater times than what we get. It just enhance or reaffirm what God is already speaking to us.
It just, right, takes us to another level. Yes.
Because if we think about when the prophets went to prophesied during, especially in the Old Testament when they were prophesying, they were prophesying to the nation. They were prophesying, you know, to tell them what God was getting ready to do because they hadn't done this or that or what the Lord was going to do. Now, when I think about the second question that Elder Dotson asked, I thought about what came to my mind was Isaiah going to Hezekiah and how he had told Hezekiah about, you know, that he was going to die. I believe this is the story. And then how Hezekiah told him about him. Said, well, if I'm in the grave, how can I praise him? Anyway, but the Lord, he came to tell Hezekiah eventually that he had 15 more years.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
I do believe that the Lord will send a prophet to someone and prophesy to them, but it is for the kingdom of God's purpose. It is just not, you know, we have so many to say, you know, well, you're going to get a car, you're going to get this, you're going to get this. I don't believe God has, I mean, he blesses people, but I don't know if that's for the, you know, for the kingdom's sake. You know what I'm saying? And so that's sometimes what I think sometimes people are seeking a word from the Lord, and they go to the prophets almost like they're soothsayer, and that's not what they are.
Right.
It's just like when Saul had you know in the battle, and then Samuel had died, and he went to the witch of Endor to raise Samuel up so he could get a word.
Right.
God is
right.
Requiring us to go through them extremes to get a word from him. Like
that's
the
right.
doctor said, the veil has been rent, so we have access to come boldly to the throne of grace.
Yes, yes.
Well, Elder Dotson telling me to stop because he got something to say, but man, he made me forget what I was getting ready to say. Oh, my goodness.
Paper with a pencil right there.
Yes, I was right on it. He's over there fussing. Here he is.
No. What I was saying is there are some people that think that prophets have the last word. But just like in that instance, and a couple of instances in the Word of God, the Lord told the prophet to return.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he got to God. And then he sent the prophet back, and the prophet told him he was going to live 15 years. Am I correct? I think, isn't that right? Hello?
Yeah, I believe that is.
He turned his face to the wall because when he told him he was going to die, he turned his face to the wall and got to God. And then Isaiah turned around, came back and told him, that's when you're going to have 15 years.
Yes. See, I believe that it is such a serious gift.
Yes.
There is still a part that the body of Christ plays as far as having faith and fulfilling purpose. So it will not be left solely upon a prophet to leave a message. But he says, my sheep hear my voice and the strangers they won't hear. It's of us to design our ears to hear from God and
yes.
to know. I feel that way because in the Old Testament, the priest had a jewel that was on his breastplate called the Urim, and
yes.
what it would do is it would light up when a prophet was speaking the truth.
Praise God.
Why, we have to work on our discernment.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To discern what exactly is being said and whether what is being said is for us. You have to remember in the Old Testament that when a true prophet came on the scene, even the unsaved feared it, feared
yeah.
those prophets. There was kings, who was that? John the Baptist. When he heard he was coming, he said, let him in. And he was not a man of God. But he feared John the Baptist.
Right.
If that goes with the scripture, you know, in Proverbs, that says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Yes.
So those that became fearful had some knowledge opened up to them. And they were inquisitive along with that fear, I believe. Amen?
Amen. You know, that reminds me when Samuel was going to anoint David, you know, the people were in fear
mm-hmm.
of that prophet because they know what he had to say was the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So they had fear, you know. They knew that when the prophet spoke, what he said was going to come to pass. But nowadays, we don't know what to think in many cases.
Yeah.
Should we believe it or should we not? But God gives us all a choice. We all have to make the right choice. So we have to prepare ourselves in his word to make the right choice and keep that our relationship with him in prayer effective so that we can hear him. In word and through others, in many ways, God speaks to us. You know, I remember I was trying to make a decision about my meeting because something else was coming up, and I said, God, well, this is not a office of prophecy, but it was just something how God answers us. I said, God, I need to know whether I need to go ahead and have this. Just give me a word on that. And the next morning, someone called me at 6 o'clock. Are you having your meeting today? You know, so God works in mysterious ways. He uses people. And to me, that was the answer to prayer.
Yes.
So I knew in my heart, I knew that he allowed that call to come early, 6 o'clock in the morning, to let me know to go ahead with what you're doing. It's okay. So we just have to be wise, you know. When things happen, don't take things for granted, you know, as believers, because God speaks. He can speak to children. Just certain things that happens that we have to be discerned for. Not be gullible, but
right.
To know when God is speaking.
Yeah. Amen. One thing I believe, why that's such a strong gift is because what a prophet really does and will do mostly is bring confirmation
yeah. Yeah.
to something God has already told you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why you have to have a listening ear, because the number one thing a prophet wants to do is to stir your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much in him, but to stir your faith in what God has said, that you will hold on regardless to what is going on in your life. The situation is not over until God says it's over. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's so true. It reminds me of a young lady that I've had met at work. You know how you can meet people and have the sweetest spirit? And I often talked to her just on passing by. The next time I saw her, it looked like she had lost 50 pounds. So I stopped and said, and I asked her, I said, are you okay? Like you're losing a lot of weight? Are you doing this on purpose? And she told me, no, she had MS. And she was just trying to hold on. The doctors had said that it was nothing they could do. And I said, well, you're in position to get a miracle from God. You know, I believe that your relationship is going to change. I say, you now, let's trust God for your complete healing. And I believe in my heart that was just a word for her. It was a growth for her. It was a comfort for her. To know that even though the doctors have said what they said and they've given up, you still have hope in God. And so, you know, we establish relationships in many ways, and we have gifts of prophecies in many ways to exhort other people. And that, in turn, gave us a relationship together. For me to comfort her and pray with her when she needed prayer. So it's just that there's all kind of ways that God is trying to tell us. Don't take things for granted. Discern when you see a person hurting. What can you do to help? How can God use you in this situation? But praise God, I got to go. I went over a little bit. So I've got to go to my... I've got to go to my outreach. But it was such an interesting conversation.
Well, we'll continue on for the rest of the time, and we thank you so much for taking the time to call in and minister to us, because that's such a blessing, and we know that God's going to bless you at the outreach. We just believe God is going to meet you there.
Okay, bless all of y'all. Good night.
Going grace.
Man. So we can continue on talking about the gift of prophecy. I know that, you know, with one thing I was thinking about as far as the prophecy, I was thinking Elder Timberlake was going to come on and talk about the discerning spirits, and we can start talking about that if we want to, unless you all have something else you want to talk about as far as the gift of prophecy.
Right. You can go on.
Okay. So when we think about the discerning of spirits, that's one of the gifts of the Spirit as well. And it's one of those what they term as a revelation gift, just like the gift of prophecy and also divers tongues and interpretation of tongues. they categorized it as a revelation gift, recognizing what is of God, the word, the flesh, and of the devil. And so Paul recognizing that the girl, when he was talking about the girl at Philippi, and just this is just an example, and he said that was a spirit of divination. And so that is something that the gift of discernment does. It says the discerning of spirits is a supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to perceive the source of a spiritual manifestation and determine whether it is of God. And if we think about, one of the scriptures I was thinking about was in Acts. Oh, Lord, I had it and then I missed it. In Acts, I think it's the 10th chapter, and starting at Acts 10, 30, and 35. And it's just an example of the gift of discernment in operation. And I'll read that. Okay, here it goes. And it says that, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And God said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon the tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come now. Therefore are we all here present before God to hear of the things that are commanded thee of God. And then Peter opened his mouth and said of the truth, I perceive that God has no respect of person, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteous is accepted with him. And so that was this was an example actually of, so there's three areas that the gift of discernment works. It discerns the evil spirit. It discerns angelic spirits, and it can discern the human spirit. And so this was a sign of the angelic spirit because it said that he saw that the angel was visiting him. And so that was just one of the gifts of discernment in operation at that particular time. And then if I look at Acts 16, give these examples. So sometimes we have to the example of things so we can get a clear understanding. We look at Acts 16, starting at the 16th verse. It says, and this is the damsel freed from the evil spirit. So this is an example of discerning an evil spirit. And it said, and it came to pass that we went to prayer. And we went to prayer, and a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master such gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out that same hour. And so the first example over in Acts 10 was an example of the angelic of seeing the spirit of the angelic spirit, and then this is an example of seeing of an evil spirit, of discerning of an evil spirit. And so these are some of the examples that are given in the book of Acts. And if we look at Acts, the 8th chapter, go back to the 8th chapter, and we have another example, 8 and 18, starting at the 18th verse. And it says, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this prayer, that on whomever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for the heart is not right in the sight of God. And so, wait a minute, I got two more verses. Repent therefore of this of thy wickedness, and pray that God in perhaps the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And so here's an example of them discerning a human spirit and noting that what he was trying to do at that time was not of God. He was trying to buy the Holy Spirit so that he could work, try to buy the gifting of the Holy Spirit so that he could use it for his own. And so here's another example of the gift of discernment in operation. Anybody have anything they want to say about that, those particular passages of Scripture or those types or those examples?
Yes, ma'am. These were examples of people that were misusing the gift of God and for, you know, profit.
Yes.
And the one you had spoke about before in that in Acts 16, she was afraid, and her masters was afraid of losing the money of the people. She spoke the truth.
Yeah, she did.
They were men of God, but she wanted to show the people that, hey, I'm connected.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't they disconnect her real quick? And that's why you have to have some discernment. Because there are people with, other things in mind. Manipulators of the Word of God, manipulators of the gifts. And you really have to have a keen discernment. Amen. Mm-hmm.
They are motivated by their own thoughts. Now, one way that you can say, it says, how to test the spirit. It says you can discern or test whether or not the spirit is of God by the following these three ways. And the one, number one, is observing what a person does. Let's read, we're going to read Matthew 7, 15, and 20. Go to that. This little writing. I'm give me some of them large print Bibles. Let's see. 15 and 20. And
why are you looking?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, one time I was looking at this leader on television, and I was thinking, boy, he is really speaking the truth. And the Lord was saying, keep watching. And I said, but, you know, what he's saying is true. And the Lord was letting me know, keep watching. And I kept watching. And I'm not lying to you. Why did he cuss? Oh, my God. And the people were saying, that's okay. Go ahead.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, and I was thinking, what? And he really cursed. And then I said, oh, Lord, now I see what the difference is. You know, I had never heard him speak before. But, boy, you know, if you just keep, like you said, you keep looking, something will slip up. And he sure did, right on national TV. I don't want to call his name, but he sure did, and he cursed. And I was like, oh, my God, have mercy. And he was a religious leader, too. And I was like, jeez. But, you know, the Lord will allow you to see if you do watch.
If you just keep watching. And that's what this is saying. Observe what a person does. In Matthew 7, the 7th chapter, 15th and the 20th verse, Jesus explains that false prophets are known by their fruit and by their conduct and actions. So just like you were saying, and the Lord kept telling you, just watch. And then he revealed it unto you that this man, that he was not who he said he was. But in this it says, in chapter 7, it says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. So this is one of the ways to test the spirit, to see if this is of God. We're talking about discerning the spirit. And so then we're going to go to the next way is, it gave us three directions. The next one is observing whether or not a person exalts Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as Lord and Savior, or are they exalting themselves? And so we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12:3. Get it, 1 Corinthians 12:3. And it's, let's see. Way up here, 14. Okay, so chapter 12 and verse 3 says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." So that's another way you'll know if they're not saying that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Son of God, he is our Lord and Savior, then that's not a person that is exalting Jesus. That's another way to discern, to test the spirit. We're talking about testing the spirit, how to discern or test whether or not a spirit is of God by the following three ways. The next way is, and we're going to go to 1 John 4:1-3, but it says, by listening to what a person says, does their confession line up with the truth of God's word? Oh, wow. Anybody have anything to say about that before I find it?
That's right. A confession needs to line up with the truth of God. Because there, and what we say all the time and what we've heard say all the time, you got to possess what you confess. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So 1 John 4, one of the things it says is discerning false prophets. So this is what this particular book is about. But it says, "Beloved, believe this," and I'm reading out of the first chapter through the third verse. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." So these are just ways you can test the spirit. We have to try the spirit by the spirit and see if it be of God or not. Because if we believe, we can't believe, it says, "Believe not every spirit, but try the spirit," which means that we shouldn't believe everything we hear just because someone says it is a message from God. And we just talked about that even with the prophet. You know, it has to line up with the word of God and what God is saying. Then it says, "There are many ways to test teachers to see if their message is truly from the Lord. One is to check to see if their words match what God says in the Bible. Other tests include their commitment to the body of believers." And that's John 2:9. And then John 3:23-24, their lifestyles and the fruit of their ministry. But the most important test of all, says John, is what they believe about Christ. Do they teach that Jesus is truly God and fully man? Our world is filled with voices claiming to speak for God. Give them these tests and see if they are indeed speaking the truth, God's truth. And then it says the Antichrist will be a person who epitomizes epitomizes all that is evil, and he will be readily received by the evil, by an evil world. He is more fully described. We talked about him in 2 Thessalonians 2:13-12, and Revelation 13. It says the spirit of Antichrist is already here, and those who reject Christ are unknowingly or consciously siding with the spirit of the Antichrist. And so we got to be careful, you know, when we have to be able to understand when people are operating, even in the church sometimes, if you can be in church and somebody begins to do something, you can be able to, some people, when they have the gift of discernment, are able to discern if that's an evil spirit or is that a godly spirit. So what has any of you all had any instances, or can you testify to some things that you have seen in your walk with the Lord that you've had to discern this type of situation in the church?
Well, it's like the our pastor Pastor Washington said this morning. We're not spiritual police, but the Lord will allow us to discern whether a word is for us or whether this word did not come from God. There's a couple of churches that I've went to where I've sat down and heard a word spoken, and I did not receive it because it was not from God.
Right.
It was a true word, and it was a true word spoken, but this particular person was more about selling books.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Lord tipped me to it and through discernment, and I said, oh, my God. But the word, I mean, he knew Bible forward and backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a different agenda.
Wow. And we have to be able to discern that, because it otherwise we'll be caught up into something that is not what the Lord would have. Well, the thing about it is our time gets away from us real quick. This has been a good lesson today. I guess we need to probably finish up discerning of spirits on next week. We'll finish up and kind of do a recap of all the nine manifestation gifts. We'll do a recap on those gifts on next week. And then after that, we will begin our new series. And I think our new series begins with seeking God. And so we're going to start talking about that. Elder Dotson is going to be our host. And so we're so thankful for that. And we're thankful for him going to be a host for that series. I'm going to sit back and let him have his way. The Lord bless him. And I thank
Amen.
Him for that. I get so happy about, you know, just kind of stepping to the side. This is what ministry is about. It's not all about one person driving. It's about everybody. We got a train, bus, we got a plane. So everybody got to get behind the wheel and do something. And so I'm just so thankful
Amen.
For that. And so, but I'm going to ask
Bryson.
Yes.
Amen. Before you go off, can I tell you another key of discerning those spirits?
Yes.
Is when they walk in love.
Yeah.
Because this particular gentleman that I told you about that had another agenda about selling the books, there was someone that didn't have any money. And instead of him giving them a book, he asked them, why don't you find somebody in the church that would give you the money so that you could buy a book.
Oh, wow.
I believe that the Lord would have said, look here, dude, give that person a book, because it'll show my love through you and the honesty behind what you're doing.
Yeah, because God will make it up on the other end. People will tell you, say, well, I don't have, and I just say here because they need it. They need that. That might be something that they need that will bless them at that appointed time. And at the end of the day, it's about what? The kingdom of God and the body of Christ. You're edifying the body of Christ, and you are operating in the kingdom of God. And if you can't give something away, then I'm not sure about that.
Amen.
Mhm. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That just lets you know that just because somebody might be coming from Word, that don't mean they have the Spirit that is backing it up. So that's why you got to be able to discern the spirit, the human spirit, as well as the evil spirit, as well as, you know, being able to discern if it's an angelic host. And so we thank God for this lesson today. And we just said just going over these gifts of the Spirit. We started with the motivational gifts, and then we went to the fivefold ministry gifts, the ministry gifts, and now we're ending up on the manifestation gifts. And so we'll do a brief recap of all of that, and then we're going to, like I said, move on to our next teaching lessons, which is it's really a power-packed teaching lesson. So we're going over a lot of stuff in that particular training. And so we just thank God for it. But I'm going to ask Elder Dawson at this time, we thank all those that were on the line and contributed today. We're so blessed by everybody that takes their time. Because we got to understand, you just can't get up and start teaching the Word of God. You got to study it. And so it takes time to study and to get a word from the Lord and get the revelation to be able to teach it. And so that's why we can't take it for granted. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's a lot when you think your pastor's just getting up preaching. He might have been up all night getting that word from the Lord and putting it together so that he can be able to be a blessing and studying and stuff like that. So it's just not no easy task. It's a lot to put a message together and put things in and put teaching together. And so I just want people not to take for granted those people that come before you. They had to toil all night sometime and pray and really get a word from the Lord and study, go from chapter to chapter and book to book and just to make clarification and get what they needed to be able to minister the next day. So I always keep them in prayer and uphold them because they really need that. And plead the blood of Jesus over their lives. Elder Doctor, will you offer our extend a sense for Christ today? Thank you.
Yes, we extend to all that hear our voice on this broadcast. If you want to make a change, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I hear the words that they are saying, and I know that you can change my life. Come into my heart. Be with me. I believe that you rose from the dead, and I believe that you have taken away my sins. Please, Lord, I give my heart to you. Come into my heart right now. And if you have prayed this prayer, we believe that you are saved, and you need to get to a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church, so the Lord can show you your purpose and you can fulfill your purpose in God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank everybody that gave their life to the Lord today. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And when I tell you that, the angels are rejoicing about that one soul that came to Christ. And so the angels in heaven are rejoicing this day about the soul that just came to Christ, and we're so thankful for that. We're going to close out today, and we thank God for each and every one that called in, those that logged in, and, of course, those that will listen later. We hope that this word fell on good ground and that you will see the manifestation of the word of God spring up in your life because the seed that has been sown today are the seeds that have been watered. So we thank God for that. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for the word of God that came forth on today. We ask you to bless Elder Russell, Lord, as she goes over to the outreach ministry today, this evening. Lord Jesus, touch her, meet her there. Lord, cover her with your blood, Lord Jesus. And we ask you, Lord, that your anointing will be upon her and that the many people that will be in the service tonight, Lord, that they will be blessed and that souls will be saved and set free and delivered, oh God. And, Lord, that she will be just blessed by the ministry and they will be blessed by the ministry that you've given her to give unto them. So, Lord, we thank you. Let your angels cover her, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let them be encamped around about her. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless the Dotsons, Lord, Elder and Sister Dotson. Touch them, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness, oh God, and we thank you for their life. Lord, they've been an example of holiness, Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you for them, Lord Jesus. They're ministers of the gospel, Lord, and they have integrity, oh God, and we thank you for that. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless them, do exceedingly abundantly above all that they can even ask or think. We thank you for the many doors that will open up on their behalf, oh God. We thank you for, Lord, that you have given them favor in the family, Lord, and you've given them favor, Lord, above everything, Lord Jesus. And every door that needs to be opened will begin to open up for them. And every door that needs to shut will shut. But, God, we thank you, oh God, for the many blessings that you will bestow upon them and that you already have bestowed upon them. Bless them, oh God, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, for blessing them for over 38 years of marriage, God. We thank you for that example, Lord Jesus. We thank you that, Lord, you're still blessing people to hold on regardless of the tough times or the good times and the bad times, Lord, but they held on, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless today, though some didn't make it today, but, Lord, we ask you to bless them as well, oh, God. You know what they each stand in need of, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to bless every viewer, every hearer, everyone that came on and logged in. We extend this prayer, oh, Lord, to their families, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, some have lost loved ones. Comfort them as only you can. Some need financial miracles. Lord, send a blessing to them, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Some need healing in their body. Let your healing virtue flow through them today, oh, God. Let them send the healing virtue upon them, oh, God, that they will be healed, oh, God, by your stripes. Holly, with your stripes, they are healed today, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Heal them in their mind and emotion and in their body, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless households, oh, God, with peace, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. We rebuke abuse situations, oh, God. We rebuke child abuse situations. We rebuke child molestation situations. God, bless every teacher, oh, God. Bless every person that deals with our children in the school system. Cover them and bless them, Lord Jesus. Lord, for their sacrifice that they make on a daily basis, oh, God. Whether they're driving the bus, getting them there, picking them up, whatever they're doing, God, we know that you're able because it's important, Lord. These are jobs that are important that sometimes are always forgotten about, God, but they are taking care of the children, oh, God, and we thank you for each and every one of them. We plead the blood of Jesus over their lives today, oh, God, and we thank you for the manifestation of your power and the manifestation of your blessings upon them, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless all those that are listening today. Bless them as they go through this week, oh, God. Lord, send forth your angels and for them and be their guide, oh, God, and be all that they need to be. You know what they stand in need of, God. We plead the blood of Jesus over the life of your people, God. Lord, let us not be disturbed by the things that are going on in this world because we know that you're in control, oh, God. Let us trust you, Lord. We trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways, let us just acknowledge you, oh, God, and ye shall direct our path. We thank you today for your mercy and for your grace, God. And we love you, Lord, and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank God for each and every one, and we ask you, Lord, just meet us here next week on the Prospering Souls. God bless you.
Peace be to you all.
Thank you.